WBEZ's Nonprofit Spotlight is supported by UChicago Medicine, providing expert primary and urgent care with locations throughout Chicagoland. Their walk-in urgent care locations offer a variety of services for adults and kids 7 days a week. No appointment needed. And for the visits that can wait a day or two, flexible hours and online scheduling make it possible to find a primary care provider partner. Learn more at uchicagomedicine.org. WBEZ is supported by Impact Grants Chicago. Over 400 women come together in a unique model of collective giving. Each member contributes $1,000, and together those donations grow into $100,000 grants for Chicago nonprofits that address critical challenges across the city. By pooling resources, individual gifts multiply into greater impact. Listeners can learn more about Impact Grants Chicago and past grant recipients at impactgrantschicago.org/join2025.
I'm Sasha Ann Simons, and this is Reset. It's a person's worst nightmare to have a medical emergency and have to call an ambulance and be rushed to the hospital. The clock's ticking, and you've got to be there fast, like right now. You can't imagine this nightmare getting worse until you get to the hospital and you find out, well, they may not be able to really help you. They tell you, we gotta transfer you to another hospital. Now, if you're seriously injured and not transferred within 2 hours, your chances of surviving drops. And that's happening 30% of the time in some hospitals in Illinois. That's according to a new study from Northwestern University that examines why this is happening and potential solutions. We were joined by the lead author of the study, Dr. Anne Stay. She's an assistant professor of surgery at Northwestern University's Feinberg School of Medicine. We started with the difference between an ER and a trauma center.
Trauma centers are hospitals that are specialized in taking care of the injured patient. And we know from a study done over 25 years ago that when people are cared for at these hospitals, they're more likely to survive. And the entire trauma system, specializing hospitals for trauma care, started all the way back in the 1970s because we realized that Americans were more likely to die on American roadways than they were in combat. And so this was the result of legislation and the first case of what we call regionalization in healthcare, which is saying that a hospital is specialized in performing some type of care.
Yeah. The part that I had trouble wrapping my mind around when I first dug into your study was, why wouldn't a patient in critical condition be taken to a trauma center from the get-go?
There are a few different reasons. The first reason is actually injured patients. Injury is the most common cause of death, and it's an incredibly common thing, from falls that older people may suffer in their own homes, or falls from the monkey bars that kids may experience, to being hit by a car in a high-speed motor vehicle collision. All these things are incredibly common. So we need hospitals, all types of hospitals, to participate in taking care of the injured patient. And across Illinois, this was data from over 10 years ago, but around 30% of injured patients are taking care of at hospitals that are not specialized in trauma. Mm-hmm. 30% are taking care at a level 2 trauma center, and 30% are taking care of it, the highest level 1 trauma centers.
Yeah.
And so part of it is we don't always know who's critically injured in the field. EMS shows up and they have their hands in a stethoscope and a blood pressure cuff. Mm-hmm. They don't have CT scans, ultrasound, invasive measurement techniques to know who's really critically injured. And so they
often... So they got to take them to the hospital first.
Correct.
They sort of get assessed.
Correct.
You see how bad it is.
Correct. That's exactly right.
So you brought up that 30% number. In Illinois, as I mentioned at the top, about 30% of patients who need a trauma center, they're not being transferred quickly enough, and it's putting their lives at further risk, right? And this is happening statewide, doctor. It's actually a nationwide issue. Is that right?
Absolutely. It's a nationwide issue, and it's been demonstrated nationwide. And what we did that was different from all the other studies across the country and actually across the world is we actually talked to people, and we asked them, why is this happening? Because you can get one idea just from data, just from numbers, but it doesn't really tell you what's broken in the process. And because really trauma care is a complex system, it's all these different actors, all these different hospitals working together that makes us be able to have good outcomes, we have to talk to everybody to know what's happening.
Time is of the essence here, right? To save someone's life. Give us the time frame when the likelihood of survival then goes down.
Yeah. So typically,
what's the window that we're working with?
In the field, we often talk about a golden hour. So that first hour is really critical to get somebody to what we would call definitive care, ideally. Most of the time, that's considered a hospital or ideally a trauma center if a patient meets specific criteria that have been specified by the CDC. However, again, oftentimes we don't necessarily know what's going on with the patient, mm-hmm. or what we see in the field may not necessarily reflect what's happening on the inside. And so that's when patients first get taken to these non-trauma centers, and we've got to figure out a way to get them in the door into the high-level trauma centers. And that's where we've really seen difficulties, because you're trying to move people across different organizations. And on top of that, you've got the physical movement of people and data, which is, you know, you would think in 2024 would be easier than it is.
Yeah. And you, for this study, you looked at hospitals in Cook and Collar counties, as well as central Illinois. So tell us where the problem is the worst.
It's tough to know exactly where it's the worst. I would say we know from international studies and national studies that suburban areas in particular, and to some degree urban areas, tend to have more difficulty in being able to transfer out patients. Mm-hmm. And part of the reason for that is in very rural areas, there's actually only one major hospital in town and maybe one smaller hospital in town. And so there's just fewer actors. It's like having a two-person band versus, you know, 150-person chamber orchestra that you're
And are there also few trauma centers out there?
Exactly. There's typically only one.
Do they have to get sent to the city, perhaps? Exactly.
Well, usually they go to their closest trauma center. Okay. But there's this level of coordination that happens more readily because it's only two or three hospitals versus in suburban or urban areas, there's just so many more players. And so it's like an orchestra without a conductor.
Yeah. So the first area of strain that you identified was being able to locate transportation. Right?
Yeah.
So I think this sort of piggybacks off what you were talking about. Now, it says here in 2019, the Illinois Department of Public Health said there were just over 36,000 combined EMTs and paramedics in the state. So is there a shortage
Absolutely.
That we've got going
Absolutely.
On here?
Absolutely. Ever since COVID, we've had healthcare professions across the range have really taken a huge
hit. So this is exacerbating the issue.
Absolutely. And this is something that, again, we've seen nationwide. There's a shortage of medics.
And of course, the coordination issue that you just talked about. Now, then there's also the issue of getting the necessary test results, the lab work or the imaging to that receiving medical center.
Exactly.
What did you hear from folks that you talked with about that challenge?
Two things. One thing is it's really difficult to be able to move those data. There's no electronic platform for most of the state to be able to transfer those data from one hospital to another unless they participate in certain very specific programs. As a result, you're often flying blind when the patient gets to your receiving center. And sometimes you have to perform tests all over again. So that delays care too.
So is understaffing an underlying issue as well?
Certainly, we heard that to some extent for the medics and transportation. The other place is really when we think about hospitals' availability and the beds that they have available, it's usually limited by personnel, by nurses specifically. So people who can actually take care of the patients in each of those beds. Mm-hmm. And so there's no question that the nursing shortage that we've, again, seen all over the country is also probably exacerbating how the capacity the hospitals have to be able to care for patients.
So a major objective here for this study was to find solutions, right? So Doctor, who has the purview to fix this mess?
That's a very interesting question. In terms of purview, I would say it's really happened across different states in different ways.
Yeah. And so, like, is it at the hospital level?
In some places, it's hospital systems that are actually working together to try and fix it, but it's often just within their health system, not necessarily across the entire state or city or what have you. In some places, it's actually the Department of Public Health, for example, Arkansas, Oregon, Washington, they've all done programs where they've built coordination centers where there's a call center. And if you need a patient transferred out, you call the call center and they find where there's an available bed and then they figure out the transportation to get you there.
So some state governments are backing here and supporting.
Right. So Arkansas did all that through, I believe, a taxation program for I believe, smoking. And they were able to use those funds to basically stand up a call center that would navigate transfers across the entire state. Oregon and Washington really did it a little bit differently in partnership with their major academic centers. Again, those states are lucky in the sense that they only really have a couple of very large trauma centers that could help motivate and push for change and partner with the Department of Public Health, as well as even sometimes private industry, to be able to create bed trackers to know which hospitals have beds right now, who can take care of this patient right now, and who's ready.
Yeah, the bed trackers. I'm glad you mentioned that. I mean, what can be learned from that program?
Yeah. So there are already some bed tracking programs that we have here that IDPH already owns and has required hospitals to submit data to. And so there was actually a unique opportunity that the Chicago Department of Public Health had put together to create an API or a mechanism for hospitals to be able to deliver their bed availability on a very regular basis, every few hours even, directly from the electronic health record. And so that's an example of an opportunity where other hospitals, smaller hospitals, could actually see, oh, I don't even need to waste my time calling this hospital because they have no beds. They're not going to be able to help me at all. Yeah. Whereas this hospital here clearly has a bed and can help me.
And to further help that communication between hospitals, you're recommending a VPN that could be used?
So that's another mechanism. So for example, in one of the regions in Illinois, as well as in the state of Maryland, which albeit is smaller than Illinois, they have these programs where you can actually submit data, especially imaging data, that can be shared across these different hospitals. And so that allows for these data to not have to be reproduced, and you're not starting from square one. And even before the patient gets in your door, you know what you're dealing with, which can be really helpful. You can counsel people in the other hospitals as to what to do, what to avoid, what to anticipate, because a lot of injury care is also anticipating what could go wrong before it does.
Well, before I let you go, Dr. Stay, what other recommendations do you have?
Yeah, I think the more we can get public support for creating better coordination across hospitals, the more we can get to a safer place with how we provide injury care across the state. And I think this is something that other states have already done. Mm-hmm. We in Illinois have been leaders in trauma care. Cook County was the very first trauma center in the entire country. And we know that we've been very responsive to listening to the public and listening to the community in terms of trauma care, like opening the University of Chicago Trauma Center. So I really encourage people to think about this as a priority, and to also listen to their paramedics when they make a recommendation as to which hospital go to, because they know.
Dr. Ann Stay is Assistant Professor of Surgery at Northwestern University's Feinberg School of Medicine. Thank you so much for your time, Doctor.
My pleasure. Thank you.
This episode of the Reset Podcast was produced by Linnea Dominic, edited by Meha Ahmed, and mixed by Ari Mejia. Get the news, politics, and culture happening in Chicago by subscribing to our podcast. We post episodes every morning and afternoon, Monday through Friday, with a bonus episode on Saturdays. Sign up at wbez.org/resetnews. I'm Sasha Ann Simons. We'll chat again later today.
My name is Donald. I live on the southeast side of Chicago. I support WBEZ because of the balanced reporting and covering so much about an issue, as opposed to just the few seconds that you may hear on most other news outlets. It matters to me to hear the story more completely.